Take your holy book, praise God, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7, verse number 24. The Bible says this, "O wretched man that I am!" Exclamation point. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." I'd like to preach just a few minutes tonight. It's got to be our help on this thought. Confidence in the fight. Confidence in the fight. As we look at this tonight and we see Paul, and he's talking here to the book of Romans, talking to the Romans, and he's talking about how men are. And now I know tonight if you ever look in the mirror, and I know you do, because we've all got a little vain part in us. We want to make sure that we're trying our best to look right. Amen. And look right and be presentable. And if we, as we look at ourselves, we see ourselves as though in a mirror, but if we see ourselves, could see ourselves as God sees us. And Paul's talking here. He said, "Sometimes when I look in the mirror," he said, "I don't see the kind of person that I would like to be." He said, "I don't see the kind of person that I'd like God to see in me." Amen. Does that make any sense? And so he's what he's doing here. He's not discouraged. He's not crying out in despair, but he's crying out to God. It's not a voice of a condemned man, but it's a voice of someone that's a looking to victory. Amen. Anytime we think about the goodness of God, we ought to be looking to victory. He's looking to victory. He's looking with purpose, and he's looking with confidence in his heart. Now, confidence doesn't come from me, and it doesn't come from you. I mean, I can tell you how much I love you, and I care for you, how I love the church, and each and every one of you here. As Brother Bill say, there's not a cull in the bunch, but I can't give you the confidence that God can give you. Amen. I can't get the confidence within myself that I need. Amen. Because there's always an outside force that's trying to push itself on me. And that outside force that's trying to do that is the flesh that I live in. The body, amen, that's so apt to do the things that I wouldn't like for them to do. Amen. That I would, I do not, and that I would not, that I do. That's what Paul would say. He said, "I'm in a constant battle." Amen. Could you raise your hand tonight and say, "Glory to God, I know what that's about." Amen. Amen. We're constantly fighting. Amen. We're constantly fighting this old flesh in which we live. And it's not always, we want to pack everything off on the devil, but it's not always the devil. It's me and you that we have to work on. Amen. But God said He would help us if we'd let Him. Paul talks about this over in chapter 6. He talks about what we're apt to do, praise God, if we ain't careful. And he tells us how to get around it. In chapter 6, in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he said, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he said, be dead, just die out to sin and be alive in Jesus. Amen. And let Jesus begin to do those things in us that needs to be done. Verse 12, he'd say, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Amen. Our mortal body. What is a mortal body tonight? That's the body that we live in. Amen. And the sooner we realize that we're mortals, amen, the sooner we'll realize, praise God, that we need all the help that we can get. Now, one day, with the help of the Lord, we're going to get an immortal body. Amen. A body like unto the Lord. But until then, praise God, he said that we should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness." We can't become weaponized. Hello? If we ain't careful, our flesh will rise up through the devil and the lust of our flesh. We'll rise up and become weaponized against the very principles of God. But I'm glad tonight on the authority of God, he said, "Neither let your members be instruments of unrighteous unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Amen? So what he's telling us here, he said, as God's a moving in your heart, and your members, and you know, members in particular, individuals in the church of the living God, that we present ourselves, unto the Lord. Amen. That we present ourselves to Him for His glory, to glorify us. That He can begin to separate us unto Himself. We talked about that sanctification this morning. And how God Almighty, praise God, it's not just something that we do one time, but it's a continuing, a life process, if you will. Amen. A process, it starts with salvation, praise God, and it continues through all through our life. Amen. It ought to be, listen, look at me just a second. It ought to be every one of us' heart's desire to be different tomorrow than what we are today. To take just a little nugget of God and His goodness and His love and His mercy that He showed us today and carried over into tomorrow so we'd be just a little better tomorrow than we are today. See, the devil's got a thing that he's trying to blind us with. He is the great deceiver. And he wants you to think that you are who you are and you can't be no different. But I want to say on the authority of God's Word, and I've already read in your hearing tonight, that God Almighty can make you into what He'd have you to be. Amen. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. He can make you into what you say, preacher, I don't know. I tell you, you can know. If we put our faith and trust in Him, praise God, He can take you and make you, amen, a vessel of honor unto Himself. That's what He wants to do. But it's a sanctifying process that God's using every day to make you just a little different as you go through life. So one day when it's time for you to leap off into glory, praise God, you can leap off into the arms of the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. That ought to be our heart's desire, our goal in life. Glory to God. So we see a spiritual growth and sanctification unto holiness. That's what Paul's telling us. Hey, he said not to yield ourselves instruments of unrighteousness, but we need to be instruments of righteousness. That's right. So everybody that sees us, they're seeing us not as we are, could be, praise God, they're seeing us doing right. As old Brother Bill would say, it's never wrong to do right. It's time to do right now. Amen. Even so, the more as we see the day approaching. Do you realize, young'uns, if we look at the Bible and we take it literally, which we should, amen, we do here, it's almost going home time. Amen. It's almost time to check out of this old world and check into another. And we need to be preparing, praise God, for that glorious day. So we need to seek and desire a holiness from the Lord. Amen. And it takes a growing process to sanctify, sanctification, a growing process to get us to where we need to be, you and I. Now, it's easy to look at somebody else and say, boy, if they'd only do this, and boy, if they'd only do that, well, what about you? What if you'd do this? And what if you'd do that? Amen. You know what might happen? They might look at you and say, well, praise God, if he's going to go, I'm going to go too. Amen. Might get somebody else on the road to glory with you, on the road to righteousness with you, which leads to holiness. But it takes an effort, praise God, to get where you're going. Amen. Now, contrary to the world in which we live right now, it takes effort, praise God, to be able to attain to anything. We're living in a world and society, they think everything ought to be easy and everything ought to be free. But I want to say there's nothing easy in this world, amen, and there's absolutely nothing free. Amen. You say, well, preacher, this is free, and that's, no, they ain't free. Somebody paid for it down the line. Amen. Somebody before you got it free had to pay for it. Amen. Praise God. We need to be teaching our children, praise God. They don't need to be looking for anything free. They need to be looking to apply themselves to get that, praise God, that they've earned. Amen. I'm looking forward, praise God, to what I've earned when I get to heaven. Amen. Amen. Because I've put forth the effort. Hello? Putting forth the effort, praise God, to try to attain to what God's got for me, that I could lay it up in glory, that it'll be kept by God. Amen. Be guarded up there. So one day, praise God, he said, hey, you know what? You know that day that you was over there and you was a witness, you did this and done that? Praise God, he said, here it is. Amen. You said, well, preacher, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to cast it at Jesus' feet. I'm going to say the only reason, praise God, I could do it, the only reason I could be right and do right is because of the help of the Lord. Amen. When we realize that we are not immortal, but we are mortal human beings. Now, sometimes us men, hello, I'm talking to men now for a minute. Amen. You ladies ought to be saying amen. Praise the Lord. Let them have it. Sometimes us men, we think we're immortal. And we'll go and we'll do and we'll push and we'll pull. And we'll, praise God, we'll keep going like there ain't no tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
But I want to say, amen. That's her job. Amen. You ladies are getting quiet now. But we have to realize that we can do nothing within ourselves. But when we begin to do what we do for the glory of God, amen, God begins to bless it and God begins to help. And we may get to the end of the day and still be wore out. Amen. But we realize that we are mortal men. We're only able to go so far, but we can bow our head at night before we pillow our head and say, to God be the glory for all that He helped me to do. I know I'm nothing. I know I'm not able. I know I'm weak and feeble. I pray, but I thank God that I got an all-powerful God who'll come alongside me when I'm in my own stupid stupor. I pray God, I don't know what to do or say. But I'm glad there's a God that helps me.
Amen.
Amen. I know I'm not the sharpest tack in the box. Amen. You don't have to tell me, I know. But praise God, I know what God can help me to do. Sometimes, Brother Robert, I just have to stop and say, Lord, help me. Amen. And you know what? He's never let me down. Amen. Sometimes He lets me go around two or three times to make sure that I know that He knows that I need help. Amen. Because I can't do it by myself. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because I've tried. But praise God, I'm glad there's a God that's there to help me. And I put forth the effort. I put the effort out there and God begins to bless it. Amen. In spite of this old mortal flesh that I live in. Paul tells us about that. He speaks to this in so many instances. He speaks about it to it in himself, and he speaks to it, praise God, to all others that's coming along. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, in verse number 17, Paul says this, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Sounds to me like there's a battle going on. There's some contention betwixt the two. In your mortal mind, do you ever have a conflict that you, I mean, you realize it, you recognize it. The body's wanting to go this way and the spirit's telling you to go this way. Who do we listen to? Amen, you better listen to the spirit. So the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Amen. Hopefully the Holy Ghost wins out. He said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. He said, praise God, it's not about law, do's and don'ts, praise God. It's about a Holy Ghost that lives in you that to show you the way. Amen. I'm glad I'm not living under the law. Hey, I couldn't keep all 10 of those, amen, through my lifetime, no way. But praise God, there's a God of heaven that promised to be there, and He leads me by His Spirit. Shouting right now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. He says, adultery and fornication, uncleanness and lasciviousness, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and variance, emulations and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies, envies and murders and drunkenness and revilings and such like, of the which I tell you before, also I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. He said, hey, in order to get away from this stuff, he said, it takes an effort. I mean, we have to put forth an effort to do what's right. You know, it takes more effort to do what's not right. Now, you listen to me, than it does to put forth the effort to do what's right. Have you ever noticed as youngins of God being you, how sometimes we'll go in all kinds of different directions, try to work around things, instead of just going God's way, praise God, which is far better way? We try to figure it out. But God says if we put forth the effort to just go in the right way, that God will lead us in that way. Amen? Sounds like a better way to me. What about you? You know, preacher, how do I get there? Just ask God to help you. Amen. Like we were talking about this morning, praise God, just submit yourself to God and resist the devil. That's what he says. And God begins to bless us and God begins to show us his way. Because he said these people, it's in all these other ways, he said, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they'll never see heaven because they ain't going God's way. If you ain't going God's way, whose way are you going? Your way. Amen. The devil's way. Praise the Lord. But God's able, if we'll let him, to take us in the right way. The Bible says this in James chapter number 4, verse number 6. He said, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. You know why we can't do what we need to do? Is because of pride. Pride is an awful thing. Pride will get you built up. Pride will build you up in yourself. Pride will keep you, praise God, and he'll make you to resist the Word of God and the things of God and the Holy Spirit. But he said he'll give you more grace to overcome that if we'll let him. He said, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the who? The humble. So what are you saying, Pastor? If we'll come humbly before the Lord, seeking his face, God will pour his blessings out upon us. When we realize, fellas, that we're not that immortal person, amen, that can handle everything, whose shoulders are big enough and stout enough and broad enough to carry the world. We're not able. But when we realize, praise God, there's a God of heaven, glory to God, and he holds it all in the span of his hand. Amen. Praise God. What we can't, he can. Bless his holy name. And we see the power of an almighty God. We said this morning, he said, submit yourself therefore unto God. Amen. When we realize that we can't and he can, we submit ourselves to him and say, Lord, I can't, but here it is. He said, well, preacher, I know what you're saying. See, I'm with you. We say, well, preacher, you know, you just got to grab it and growl and you got to go and, you know, it's just the way it is. Us being man, you've got to just trust the Lord, praise God. Comes to a time, amen, when you get to the place, the point in your life that you just got to submit yourself to God. Say, Lord, I can't, but you can. I don't know how, but I know you know everything. Amen. Praise God. Man, the Bible says, if any man lack knowledge, ask God. Amen. Ask him for wisdom to help you to do right, be right, live right. Amen. It takes effort, praise God. But if we'll trust the Lord, he'll help us in that endeavor. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11. He says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now watch this. Among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. And he says, goes on, he says, and the governors them. But he says, what you got to do is you got to come with a humble heart and a humble attitude. Realizing that we can't, but he can. Amen. We won't, but he will. Praise God. Because he's God and we're not. Amen. And when we start realizing that and recognize that, we begin to see God working. And then James would say, he said, well, how you get there is just by submitting yourself unto God and resisting the devil. Putting up that resistance. It takes effort to do that. It doesn't come natural. The natural person, a little kid, you don't have to teach them to lie. It comes natural. Amen? I'll tell on Mia. This morning we were getting ready to come to church. And she come out. I said, we need to go get in the car. Ladies, we need to go. So I go out in the car, put my stuff in the car. Mia comes out and she's got her cosmetic thing. I said, Mia, what have you got? And she looked at me and grinned and said, makeup. I said, now, Mia Mundy, you're too young for makeup. I said, you don't have that lizard in there, do you? And she just kind of rolled her eyes up at me and turned around and headed back toward the house. She had a bearded dragon in her cosmetic case. I was going to sneak him to church. Amen? But see, you don't have to teach them. But praise God, you have to teach them to tell the truth. And that you do it when you submit yourself to God, He'll take you in all the ways of truth. But it takes effort to do that, to always be honest with all men. Now that's a tough one, to be honest with all men. Because you know what you have to do in order to do that? You have to be honest with yourself. Amen? You know, self is the biggest deceiver we have. Amen? Are you hearing me? Self is the biggest deceiver we have tonight. Self-deception. Self will say to you, hey, you're doing okay. Or they'll say, yeah, you're just as good as they are. Maybe even a little better. Amen. But the Bible says we're all sinners exceeding, and we need help. We need God to help us, to show us the right way. And it takes effort, praise God, to do that. Amen? Because we're living under the day of grace. We have that help, Lord. We're not living under the law. Amen? Because if you does, you wouldn't have no hope in the law. Amen? The law has no way. The law it have no way to justify a sinner. Just as if we never sinned, like grace does. The law doesn't give us that help from the throne of grace that we need. And neither can the law save you. The law just tells you how bad you are. The law just shows you how much we miss the mark. How much we, what's that word, Miles? Transgress. How much we miss, how many times we miss the mark. Amen. I'm aiming for a mark. I've got my eyes set higher, praise God, for me. Amen. So we got to be careful, praise God, that we can't, the law can't justify you, the law can't, a sinner law can't, it can't sanctify you, it can't purify you, can't do nothing for you. But Jesus Christ can. Amen. There's no life in the law. Amen. There's no strength in the law. There's no confidence to stay in the fight in the law. All the law does just shows you how bad an old sinner you are. But thank God, praise God, it can show you where you are so you can ask God to forgive your sins and save you by His marvelous grace. Amen. To set you free, praise the Lord. Give you that confidence that you need in Him. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8, because of grace, He said, there is therefore no condemnation. I like that word now right there, don't you, Brother Jeff? He said, there is therefore now, right here today, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Have you ever been saved? Born again through the marvelous grace of God? Amen. Saved from the guttermost to the uttermost? He said, if you have, he said, therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Amen. But after the Spirit. It amazes me how Paul words through the Holy Spirit words these things. He paints you a beautiful picture of salvation. And then he paints you a picture, makes you wonder whether you're there or not. Amen. Whether you've been born again. Because he said, if you have, said you're following after the Spirit. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, there was a tyrant called sin. And that tyrant called sin was after my mortal flesh. It was trying to drag me down into a pit and destroy me. Amen? That's what it does. It pulls us down into a pit and tries to destroy us out of the sight. Amen? But God Almighty is a saving business. God Almighty come, praise God, and the devil wants to drag us down in sin and destroy us. The devil wants to kill us with wages. Wages of sin's death. I don't want to draw those wages. Amen. Praise God, those wages not do good. Those wages will not stand in the portals of glory. Those wages will not be put on my account in heaven. Amen. Now they'll go a long ways in hell. They'll get you in the hottest, darkest place, the most fire and brimstone, praise God, that there is. But I'm glad, glory to God, I'm not going there. Amen. I'm not drawing the wages of the devil. Amen. Praise God. But he says, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. Wait a minute. You know why it's weak through the flesh? Because flesh is weak. That's why we can't, that's why we have to put forth an effort to do right, because the flesh is weak. Amen. He said, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, what does that say? He's saying that Jesus come, had a flesh and bone just like me and you. Now, these people that say, and some of these cults say, well, Jesus Christ was not really a man like us, but he was immortal, he was something else. I won't say Bible teaches us, God says that his son came and was manifest in the flesh and dwelt among men. Amen. Now, I don't know if you want to take that literal or not, but praise God, that's literal preaching. That's literally the Word of God. He came down here and he became flesh just like you and I. He lived in this old wicked world that was wicked and defiled and full of wickedness all around. And he lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life before the Father of glory till that glorious day when he was baptized in the Jordan River. And he come up out of that river, praise God. And the Bible says the heaven was opened and the Spirit of God descended upon him. And it a voice from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And God said, I sent my only begotten Son, and through his death, burial, and his resurrection, you might have life and have it in abundance. You can jump up and shout and pray and give God glory because you're not having to die and go to hell. You have a promise tonight of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, that's good enough. It'd make a wooden Indian shout. Amen. Glory be to God. God loved you and me that much. He had come to save us from hell. Amen. Praise His holy name. His own Son, likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But He did it for this reason. Watch number 4. It said, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Being led of the Spirit. Praise God. Bible says in Romans 8:14, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. Not could be, might be. He said they are the sons of God. Bless His holy name. I'm glad I'm one, ain't you? Praise His name. Amen. But He goes on and He speaks to our hearts. He tells us, praise God, that it takes God's marvelous grace and His mercy to give us the hope, praise God, we need to persevere and press on for the cause of Christ. In Romans 8:25, He said, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He said, listen, so that we can't see, praise God, do we wait with patience? Sure we do. Because he says in verse 24, sir, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Amen. But praise God, we look beyond hope. We look through hope. That's faith with expectation to what God has in store for us in the days ahead. It takes the grace of God manifest in His people to give us that confidence, praise God, that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he would say in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? It's death that I'm living. It's death I'm living in the flesh. Who can deliver me? He said, it takes the grace of God to deliver me. Amen. And he said, it's through Jesus Christ, my Lord. He said, that's where deliverance comes from. That's where deliverance happens. Amen. That's where glory comes down. He says, the mystery, praise God, that takes place. He tells us about that in Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible says this in verse 26. He said, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His who? Saints. Those that's set apart. Those that's willing to receive what God's got to say. I'm afraid today we're living in, there's a whole lot of church folk that don't want to hear what God's got to say. Because it would entail changing, putting forth effort to change our lives for God's glory. Amen. I'd do it anyway. He said, to whom God, who made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now, what is a mystery? He's talking about a mystery of the ages. And he said, a mystery is something that's not been previously released, revealed, that we could see it. Amen. But he said, if the mystery is it, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of going out of here, the hope of heaven one day, to be with Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. Praise the Lord. We see mankind, and we see man's fall. We know what happened in the garden. Amen. We know that God created man. He put him in the garden. He seen he wasn't happy. He never had a helpmeet. So God put him to sleep. Amen. Presented the first anesthesia. Amen. Caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Took a rib out of him and made a woman. Brought this woman, praise God, and presented her to Adam, and she became his wife. Now in heaven, God instituted marriage in heaven. If you want to know where, listen folks, if you want to know where heaven originated, it originated with God in heaven. Amen. In the Garden of Eden. It come from God, from heaven to the Garden of Eden, and He instigated. He put them together. God put the man and a woman together there in the garden. And God began to minister to them there. And that was the family. But the Paul Harvard, the rest of the story, how the devil beguiled Eve and she sinned, amen, and man become lost, amen, become alienated from God. Me and Mia was talking about this earlier. And we were discussing how Adam and Eve was in the garden, how they was everything was perfect, but the serpent beguiled Eve, and she partook of that forbidden fruit, and they sinned against God. And God, they had a perfect relationship in the cool of the evening, and God would come along, and He would walk with them, and talk with them, and commune with them every day. Could you just imagine they're caring for the garden, they're doing the little menial task, praise God, that God required them to do. He was pretty much doing it all. He just put man there to kind of oversee, just kind of keep an eye on it. Amen. You got to remember they were no weeds and briars and things they had to pull up and to try to keep out all the time. Everything was perfect. Till man sinned, till woman sinned, till people sinned. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm in the flesh. I still want to blame it on that woman. Amen. She did it, fellas. Hadn't it been for that woman, everything would have been better. But they sinned. They lost that relationship with God. Amen. But praise God, ain't you glad God gave them a confidence? When he told him, he said, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to give you a promise seed. Praise God, that'll come along and make everything better. Amen. So that you can stand up and praise God and give Him glory for what's taking place. And if somebody could come down the line a little later, pray God, with some blessed hope, amen, from the thrones of grace. Now I'm talking about a confidence that we need to stay in the fight of faith. Even in a time of persecution and dismay. Amen. I think of those old saints of God that's gone on. It's passed through here. And you can see in the early church, the New Testament church, we see in the books of Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John. And they're going, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, he talks about how they was going down to the temple to worship, it being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as they're going down to the temple to worship, they see a man, praise God, lame from his mother's womb. He's sitting there at the gate, that beautiful gate, praise God. He's wanting just a little bit of a handout, but there was a confidence in that man of God, in those men of God as they went to worship the Lord. Praise God, they had some confident hope. Glory. Hey, what we need tonight, church, is a confident hope, not in you, not in me, but in God Almighty. He said, preacher, what would that do for us? It'd give us something we could pass out in a liberal fashion. Amen. Peter and John's going down through there, and Peter sees that fella sitting there by the gate, probably knows he's been there before, and he pokes old John. He said, hold on just a minute. He said, let's go over and see this fella. He goes over and he sees him, amen. And that guy begins to be in expectation. He begins to look for something from him. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what's happening in the world today and during this pandemic and everything that's happening. The world's looking around all over the place and they're looking for something. They're looking for some hope. They're looking for some goodness. They're looking for some love, somebody to care. And they're looking, amen, and they may be looking at you. The Bible said they got there and they pulled up there that old fella. Amen. And he was expecting something. Said old Peter just pulled out his pockets. Showed him he didn't have nothing. Amen. He was just as empty. And he said, silver and gold have I none. He said, I ain't got nothing to give you, fella. I don't have no worldly goods. I don't have no worldly substance. I don't have nothing down here that I can share with you. Amen. With his pockets are hanging out for the whole world to see, for the fella to see. He said, silver and gold have I none. He said, but, he said, such as I have, give I unto thee. Praise be to God. Can you see it? He said, I ain't got nothing. He said, but a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. A confidence in the blessed hope, praise God, that's going to endure through the generations. A confidence, praise God. When I have no confidence in me, it's in Him, praise God, knowing He's able. Amen. John said, I ain't got no confidence in this world. But he said, I've got a confidence. Amen. A confidence, a blessed hope, praise God, that God has given me, such as I have. He said, I'll share with you. Amen. What I've got, I'll give you some. Amen. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Praise God. You know what happened? He shared with him. Amen. From the portals of glory. And the Bible said the old boy got up. And he didn't said he didn't just stand up. Said he jumped up. Amen. And he went to leaping and a jumping and a praising God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because somebody had a confident hope. Confidence in the fight. Praise God. If they was a God of heaven who was able to take care of every situation, they had that confidence to share. Praise God. As they went along this way, one to one person at a time. Amen, for God's glory. A confidence. Let me ask you a question this evening. Do you have confidence in the fight? Do you have a confidence in your fight? See, a lot of times we say, well, preacher, I know what God can do. I've seen Him do this in Mama and do this in Papa. I've seen God touching the church. What's God done for you? Do you have a confidence in you that God can do the same thing for you? Amen? He ain't limited. Amen. He ain't limited to one or the other. He's able to do all things for all men. Amen. So when you can't, He can. Amen. If we have confidence in Him, He said, if we ask anything believing, amen, He said, we shall have those petitions that we ask. Amen. Because we know, He said, that's where that believing comes in, because we know God can. Do you believe God can tonight?
Amen.
I believe you do. I believe we all believe that God can. If we wouldn't, we wouldn't hear. If we didn't believe, praise God, we'd think we're just wasting our time. But we believe tonight that God can. God can give us peace and hope and happiness. He can give us a family. He can give us love. He can show us the way. Amen. He can help us to achieve to a place that God would have us to be when it's all said and done. Amen. That we can be with Him where He is.